Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer and Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hey, everybody, what's going on as we welcome you into the Take the North podcast, where we talk about the Chicago Bears and the National Football League, along with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Danny boy, what's going on?
Not a lot. How was your Memorial Day cooler than normal weekend?
It was lovely. I got the best of both worlds. On Saturday, I went to, you know, the conservative party. That is a party with my parents, who are all, both either on the verge of 80 or in their 80s, and hung out with other 80-year-olds, which just made me feel great and young and capable and all of that kind of stuff. So I hung out there, got myself a burger from Aunt Rhonda, cooked on the grill. And then Monday, I went out and hung out with the cool kids at my friend Lisa's house, who I went to high school with. She hung out with all the popular kids in high school, and I really didn't, you know. So like, all they were all there, and they all think I'm cool now. So it was Dan. It was great. It was very non-humbling. It felt great, you know.
Yeah, the sun was out, right? Like it was a little windy, a little cool at times, but the sun was out. Good overall weekend. As you know, Coach Dan got his fill of baseball over the last 3-4 days here, and
yeah.
The Glenview Patriots ended up taking second in the silver bracket of the
Wow. Title. Congratulations.
Anyway, well, it's a minor congratulations. Really, really rough game on Saturday morning. The 8 a.m. games don't go well with the 12-year-old group that we're coaching here. But rebounded, played three pretty fun games. So it was fun. And we're back at it.
That's awesome. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about that, because I'm into Coach Dan. So I got Coach Dan questions. Maybe we'll have a little time at the end of this particular episode of Take the North. And yes, our producer, Adam Studzinski, asking the question about Aunt Rhonda, big Bears fan. Yes, my Aunt Rhonda is, and I don't know how you would describe it, a P1 Bears fan. Like, okay. she's got the Bears license plate, like the officially, you know, we see those all over the parking lot at Ellis Hall. Aunt Rhonda has one of those. She's one of these people who, she will go to games, but if she's not at a game, she needs to be in her condo with nobody else around, unless it is somebody like me or other people who really understand what's going on. She doesn't like riffraff when she's watching Bears games. You know what I
mean? Understood. Yeah, I don't like it either. And sometimes you don't have a choice in the job that we're in. Sometimes you're just surrounded by riffraff up in those press boxes, and you got to figure out how to do with it.
Oh, man. I was talking about ranking who I think are the best Bears reporters, and you're at the top of my list right now, but maybe we have to rank the riffraff.
We could do a riffraff episode closer to week one, right when we're getting ready for the Vikings game that week. We'll do a riffraff report.
Dan, I got to tell you, man, it is not hot outside yet.
Ooh,
like,
boy.
it's in the 50s. I'm actually going to the Cubs game tonight, so probably going to have to bring a coat out there and a hoodie, and I don't mind, but I'll tell you where it is hot.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
I know you know where I'm going with this. It is hot out here on Bears Twitter. Replies, they are hot because of this damn Caleb Williams story. and the excerpt of the book that is from Seth Wickersham that is coming soon, and the quotes that were in there, and the fact that we continue to carry this story as long as we need to until we get some sort of complete closure on it, and it has not arrived there. But people are, here's the thing, Dan, like people are, like, I don't mind at all when people disagree. That's part of being a fan. Yeah. But the responses, like, to anybody, like a lot of people are saying it's a non-story, leave it alone. It's angry and agitated and caustic. Feeling your adjective is mean out here, man. What is going on with Caleb Williams and this story that, yeah, I get it, man. People get tired of it, but we still don't have complete closure on Caleb Williams and his father and what happened.
Let's unpack this. This is a good time to do that.
Okay,
the
good.
Stage of May. And I know we both can kind of do this in a way in podcast form that will make sense to our very cerebral Take the North audience. Those are not the people that are being caustic, to use your adjective just a minute ago. I did put out a post on social media over the weekend. I wrote, with Bears X, this on edge, this hyperreactive, and this extreme in mid-May, good luck surviving the 2025 season, and then gave a little gif of Ferris Bueller going, this face.
He's clenching his teeth for our audio listeners.
For audio listeners, right. Yes, I just feel like we're in this weird spot again, where there is a faction of the fan base that is playing the nothing to see here card while plugging their ears and going, nothing to see here, nothing to see here, nothing to see here. Don't want to hear anything about this story. That's your prerogative. But to define this as a non-story is misguided at a minimum. It's naive at a maximum. There's a lot of things in between, I'm sure. Look, like, you know why this is a story. I know why this is a story. And so why don't we unpack a little bit of why this remains a story, with an understanding that Caleb Williams has not spoken publicly since the Seth Wickersham book excerpts came out 2 weeks ago. Possibility this week, OTAs at Lake Forest on Wednesday. Maybe Caleb gets to the microphone that day. We'll see. That would be nice. And I certainly have a page full of questions in my notebook to bring this story forward. But I'll start with you. Let's talk about why this is a story and why it's resonated with us to a degree, understanding that, like, we're not trying to turn this into some massive bombshell, right? Like, but it is a story, and the story needs to be covered until, to use your word, it has completion.
Yeah, yes, it does. And let me say a couple of things. I think, first of all, and I'll tell you why I think, I'll tell you why I think it's a story first, because that's what you asked. I think my main reason for this is that it's a story in a lot of ways is a couple things. Number one, it's a story still because whatever went down last year, whoever you want to blame or whoever you want to hold responsible, culpability, whatever the case may be, Caleb Williams, a number one draft pick for the Chicago Bears, had his rookie season stunted. It did not broaden itself as much as it could have, which might mean that unless Ben Johnson is has superpowers as a coach, we might be looking at this as a developmental year because of what went on last year with that coaching staff, with the coaching staff that apparently didn't watch film with him. Caleb, why didn't you ask somebody about watching film? So I think that that's an important part of this, that it does affect what's going on right now with the Bears. OTAs are back underway today, and what went on last year and what didn't happen last year and what was said last year is exactly affecting what is going on today. So that's part of why. That's my thumbnail of why this story still matters, because it is affecting what is going on today, and we still haven't heard from the quarterback on the story. Really quickly, Dan, and then I want to hear your headline on why this is still a story, or bullet points. And I mean, I have more than that, but I want to take a crack at the why it is so. Let's go along with the theme of the word caustic, why it is so harsh out there. And I get, man, we're all sports fans at the heart of it, and sports is serious to us. And I do understand that. I'm on the ground floor with people on that. But the nasty factor, and I honestly think, Dan, people are so scared to death of the possibility that Caleb Williams is not going to be good. Like, that's not, they don't even want, like, right. Everything that right. they hear right. negative right. about Caleb is another subliminal inch towards, oh God, this guy, because I'm still saying Caleb Williams has to be good. He damn well better be good, because I don't know how, if Caleb Williams was to be a bust, and for the record, I still think Caleb is going to be really good. I haven't seen those raw skills go away. I haven't seen that talent dissipate from this man. So until I really see something that's a deal breaker, I still think Caleb Williams can be great. But I think that there is, again, a faction of the Bears audience, and I understand it. You're scared to death, and it's making you react in ways that I have found to be unsightly at times.
Nothing you said right there is anything that I would push back on and disagree with. There was some pushback in the tweet that I mentioned a couple minutes ago, saying that you guys are demanding that Caleb do this performative press conference. Nobody has demanded anything. Nobody wants anything performative. We just want to have a conversation about what all this was and what all this is going forward. No one has asked for there to be a felony trial held for Caleb Williams. There's not a congressional hearing. We don't have to go into some deep investigation into any of this, but this is a story for several reasons. We have confirmation from the quarterback and his father through an author that Caleb Williams seriously considered not playing for the Chicago Bears when he went into the draft. He went so far as to consider playing in the United Football League. He went so far as considering asking for a trade to the Minnesota Vikings. Okay, like, these are not normal things that happen in the pre-draft process. And he did so because he doesn't have faith, or he didn't have faith, that the Bears would have his career in good hands. So the question you ask modern day is, what has changed your mind in the last 18 months? Because one of the things that most people say is, Caleb was right about all his concerns. Okay, if he was right about all his concerns, then what is to minimize his concern other than the arrival of Ben Johnson, who has never coached a game as an NFL head coach, much less as the coach of Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, to say that Caleb won't continue to have concerns about his career with the Chicago Bears? What is to say if 2-3 years from now, he gets to the pivotal stage of his contract and his career, and he has not materialized into the player that we thought he would be, and there's questions on what the next contract should look like? Do you think Caleb 100% says, yeah, I'm going to stick with the Bears? Or do you think he says, maybe I need to reboot somewhere else, like so many other quarterbacks have done and had success doing? So there's a lot here. I think the people that push back the most, Grody, I've kind of likened it to, I said, these are the people that would execute Toto before he could get his teeth on the curtains in the palace in the Emerald City. Like, don't show us what's behind the curtain. We don't want to see it. And then they would kill Toto. And that's what's happening here, is a manhunt for Toto, or a dog hunt for Toto right now, because there's fear of what could possibly be behind the curtain. As you mentioned, you and I talked on WSCR, The Score 670 on Friday, about the range of possibility for Caleb. He could very easily be a quarterback that takes the Bears to the playoffs 9 times. And we all say, God, thank God the Bears finally found that guy. And he could be very easily be just like all of his predecessors and not get a second contract with the team. Right. And we would go, yeah, that's about right. In either scenario, we go, that's about right. And so when you're confronted with that range of possibility, I think you're right. It triggers this fear factor for people where they want to just close their ears and close their eyes and be like, he's a savior. He's a savior. I don't want to know anything else. He's a savior. Mm-hmm. He's a savior. Right. And then, so like, the other thing is, this is like, social media for me, it has become the place where healthy conversation gets its volume turned up to 75, and then society crumbles. Right. Like, let's be honest. That's what this is right now. Perhaps, we can get past that in some way. I think that these forums are a little bit more capable of handling the discussion, but people live in this constant state of defensiveness. They're easily triggered, and everybody just kind of tries to shout their preferred reality into existence. And I think that's what's happening here. And it's freaking wild, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. And I think sometimes they take what we say when we're reporting things,
exaggerate,
as them as an antagonizing, almost like as if we're poking, like we hate the Bears somehow, and we're negative, and we don't. I mean, good God. I mean, every third or fourth episode, I think we joke about Dan having been on this beat as long as he has, and how much we both cherish 2018, and how, my God, they were winning, and we could talk about winning in the locker room as opposed to these ridiculous losing streaks. And is the quarterback going to be good? And Lord knows we were still talking about that in 2018, because the Bears won with elite defense. But this, it is history repeating itself for more than one reason, because, man, The Justin Fields thing was a thing as well. Now, I don't remember it getting as nasty with Justin Fields, but Justin Fields was popular as hell until he wasn't here anymore. Maybe I just wasn't as in the weeds as then. So pardon the pun, weedsy. But maybe I stayed out of it a little bit. Maybe I didn't read as deeply because I wasn't doing the podcast at the time. And that's probably good because I feel like
I'm still picking shrapnel out of my teeth from things that were happening during that whole 3 years.
I don't know what the moment was for you, Dan, or for other reporters, but there was a moment, you know, coming in his, I think it was his third year where it's like, okay, like after he had the unbelievable 2022 season and we're all back in 2023 to see if he can put together throwing and passing. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, in my head, and I think in other reporters' heads, I wasn't the only one, it's like, he ain't it. This is not it. And my reporting from there forth reflected that. And for sure, people got pissed off about it. But, and this is not, I told you so, but like when we see things, we're going to report them as we see them. Justin Fields was struggling and I didn't think he was going to make it. And truly, he didn't make it. Caleb Williams, this is different now. Caleb, like as far as on the field, he's still got a real chance to be great. But there are things that will inform us. History informs us to not make the same mistakes in the future. And correct. Like Dan, you brought up such a great point about, hey man, if he did this then, what's he going to do when the contract comes up? And let's say he is good and he's got the power. And you know what? Instead, he wants to go play in Los Angeles.
Like we know he had a bond with Kevin O'Connell, right? Like, and not saying that that's going to be an option up the road, but like they legitimately put on record that he wanted to play for Kevin O'Connell. There were probably other people that he met with along the way where he was like, I would like to play for that person. And if this relationship with Ben Johnson doesn't gel the way everyone assumes that it will, and obviously we're trending in the direction of like, let's watch that play out for 2025 and see where it goes, then what's to say that those doubts won't be renewed in his head, right? Like, if this isn't the place for me. And like, if you genuinely were concerned about your career in the hands of the Bears before the draft, and then you went through the rookie year that you went through where they subjected you to all that craziness and disruption, and then you don't get your career going in year two or year three the way you hope to, who's to say that you want to be here then? And so that's a big part of the reason that this is a story and will remain a story for a while. The other part of this, and we'll get into the film study here in a minute, is just that this idea that the Bears now have to understand this as well, right? And they have to understand the stakes of all of this. They have to understand the errors they made in 2024. They have to understand how do we troubleshoot this and control alt delete this whole thing so that we don't live through what that was last year again in a way that is going to just make all of this stuff more exaggerated and crazy.
Right. And then, you know, there's a lot of new voices around Caleb. I mean, you mentioned Ben Johnson, but obviously Declan Doyle and all the other offensive support that are around him. There's no slam dunk that's going to work with these guys. It sure looks good. It sure sounds good. And for the interactions that Dan and I have had, I mean, thumbs up so far, but there's still a lot of tests.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
To pass here. Dan, you mentioned some of the film study stuff. Something caught your ear on the score on the Spiegel and Holmes show featuring Kurt Warner. Why don't you set this up?
One of the big reveals in the Seth Wickersham excerpts from the book was that Caleb told at least his dad and probably others that, you know, he was left to watch film on his own without any guidance on how to properly watch film. That's a big revelation. And the next time we get to Caleb, we have to ask him, okay, can you please clarify exactly what you took exception to last season with the structure of your film studies? And can you please tell us how the habits and routines are going to be different in 2025? It'd be nice to hear, right? Like what you're thinking going forward to improve that part of the process. Well, Kurt Warner, as you know, Grody, is a Hall of Fame quarterback who has some thoughts on playing the position at a high level that are worth taking credence in. He's not the only quarterback in the NFL landscape that's weighed in on this storyline, which, oh, by the way, that means it's probably pretty relevant to people around the league. I've heard from people, you've heard from people, people like Kurt Warner are going on the airwaves to talk about it. That means it's not a non-story for football folks. But he talked about just kind of the concept of film study and what Caleb's comments meant to him and how they registered to him. Let's take a listen to this and we'll react.
Well, I mean, you know, I've been vocal about this. I mean, obviously, I think there's plenty of blame and accountability to go around for everybody involved. But when I was in the league, and a lot of people have, you know, made the contention, well, you know, you weren't a number one pick or number one overall pick or first round pick, so it was different. But when I was in the league, I never had a coach sit down and walk me through kind of the process of watching film, you know, as you know, we would use that term, quarterbacks watching film. I never had anybody kind of walk me through, oh, this is how I've done it, or this is a checklist, or this is a roadmap, a starting point. I never had that from a coach. Now, we watch film with the coach, so a lot of times it's whether it's watching the game back and kind of talking through the scenarios, watching practice every single day. You know, sometimes even at the start of the week, you know, we pop on the tape of you know, the opponent and, you know, and watch some tape. But that's not the primary job of these coaches as they're building the game plan and, you know, coaching, you know, throughout things and getting ready, you know, because once we get into the week, you know, it's first and second down, then it's third down, then it's red zone and preparing all this other stuff. So there's not, you know, like outside time, meaning, you know, outside of the structure of what the day is. For me anyways, it was always on my own. And that doesn't mean, you know, just solo. There might be other quarterbacks in the room or I might be watching film with my receivers, but it wasn't coach driven. It was player driven. And, you know, the majority of my watching tape was alone, was by myself, whether it was at home at night or early in the morning. If I would go in before practice and I would watch tape on my own, you know, and to me, it really is different for all of us. Like, you might, you know, ask me and you might ask Peyton and you might ask Tom, you know, how did you watch film? And we may all give you a different process by which we watch film. Like, I never watched a complete game of my opponents. Like, I didn't go turn on, you know, the game last week of my opponent and watch from start to finish. I didn't do that. I watched situational football. I watched based on, you know, what formations we were going to be in and how teams like to adjust to it. You know, what their third down tendencies were, or, you know, blitz packages to try to get some tells, or I might even watch based on coverage. I want to see all of their cover three looks so I can get a sense of maybe how they start and how they adjust to it and all of that stuff. And so it was different for all of us. The amount of tape that we all watched, how we watched it was different. But I just never had a coach walk me through that process. It was a lot by osmosis. It was a lot by asking or sitting in the room with other quarterbacks, you know, veteran quarterbacks that it might be around you and go, okay, what are we watching? How are we watching? You know, what are you looking for? And asking those questions more than it was a coach kind of taking me in and laying it out for me.
Grody, that, I mean, there's a ton there, right? Like, and one of the phrases that comes up in what Kurt said there is player driven, right? Like film study is player driven, and you've got to figure out how to do that yourself without needing so much oversight and guidance. Okay. Caleb's a rookie. He should be given some form of teaching and tutelage from the people above him at Hell's Hall to get him off on the right track. And if it's not going well, somebody has to recognize that. And Caleb himself has to raise his hand and speak up and say, this isn't the way that I'm going to start to show growth here. And so that was an obvious disconnect there. I think the other thing this illuminates for me is the gamble that Ryan Poles made on not having a veteran backup in the 2024 quarterbacks room, right? It's Caleb and it's Austin Reed and it's Tyson Bagent. And there's nobody there with a ton of veteran experience to kind of be an overseer, the Mark Sanchez, the Josh McCown type thing. I learned a lot about the QB2 role from conversations I've had over the years with Josh McCown, where it's, yes, you're preparing yourself to be ready to play at any moment, but you're also a servant to the starter. And if you're doing your job right, the starter is giving you homework assignments and saying, hey, can you watch this film for me so that I don't have to take all this on my own bandwidth? I don't have to do all this homework myself. And then you can give me your report back on what you see. What Warren's talking about situational football there. Like when we're in third and long, here's what they do. Can you give me some tips on some stuff and go through that? So that's part of this. But I come back to this idea that Ryan Poles pushed his chips in on Ryan Griffin last year as the guy who was going to be the veteran guy who had been around Drew Brees, who had been around Tom Brady, and was going to be a compass for Caleb Williams. I don't know anything about the relationship between Caleb Williams and Ryan Griffin, good, bad, or otherwise. I know Ryan Griffin's not still here with this new staff, and I don't know that relationship paid the dividends that they thought it would. And now Case Keenum's here to kind of fill in that hole. But it's just one of many missteps that the entire Bears organization made in setting Caleb up for success. And ultimately we wind up here in this very complicated discussion.
When I hear about the player driven part of this from Kurt Warner right there, all I could think of is so much for having eight captains on your team, like right. In terms of an advice, like, all right, Mercedes Lewis. Okay. It was good hearing from you. And I'm sure that he was trying to say as much as he possibly could, but maybe somebody needed to help the quarterback a little bit. Same thing with DJ Moore.
I mean, DJ Moore was a first time captain who seemed sort of reluctant when he was even given that title last summer.
That's fair. Right. And I don't know that. Yeah. I mean, TJ Moore, before we even knew that Caleb was going to be the guy, when we all kind of knew Caleb was going to be the guy, was like, okay, here we go again. Another young quarterback who has to learn everything again. So like, it was nothing personal against Caleb. It was just the idea of, oh, we got another quarter. And hey, Cole Kmet, same thing. Like really, you know, seemed to really hang out with Caleb a lot. We saw them hanging out a lot backstage and all that. But I mean, it feels like more actual football teaching needed to go Caleb's way. So yeah, I mean, it is alarming. I mean, I'm trying to figure out where Kurt Warner's coming from here completely, because he makes it sound like, oh, it's all player driven. I mean, at some point in time, one of your coaches has to be, even if you're looking at tape by yourself, which you should be able to do, here's how you do it. Here's your homework tonight, Caleb. Here's what I want you to watch the first quarter. Watch these 15 plays that I'm giving you. Like, and this is part of why the story's still alive. Were you not even given that? Like, you didn't know how to watch tape?
And then part of that is you've got a cell phone. We heard as early as rookie minicamp that Caleb was peppering Kerry Joseph with texts about, hey, what do you see here? Hey, what should I be looking at here? Okay, so like, how are those channels of communication disrupted at some point where you're not, you don't have to be side by side with someone to say like, hey, I'm watching this and I'm not really sure what I'm looking at. Can you help me? Right? Like, it's never been easier to communicate with people. And I get it. Like, coaches have other responsibilities and they're juggling a lot of different balls at once. But the fact that the Bears like mishandled this, and Caleb, to his extent, mishandled it. It's jarring. And now we need answers. Again, like, we need answers for 2025. Like, how is this going to be different this year? Ben Johnson told us last week that he's got a procedure that is sort of an amalgamation of all the offensive coordinators and play callers he's been around of watching film. And that's how he likes to do it with his quarterbacks. And we'll see how that goes. I know Studs has some thoughts on this topic. I wanted to bring him in for a fresh perspective,
yes,
both on the storyline as a whole and this whole layer to it.
I don't have a whole lot to add on the overall storyline. I think you guys covered it pretty well.
We did.
I would echo what a lot of what you guys said. I will say I didn't notice a lot of agitation from Bears Twitter, but over the holiday weekend I was kind of tuned out. So I don't know, like, if it was just not reaching me, because I only really dabble in the surface of Bears Twitter. You get any deeper than that, it gets dicey really quick. So
really quick.
So anyway, the film study stuff, this is an aspect of the story that I've felt has, I guess I'll say, been outsized, had outsized talk to it. So, like, I want to, here was the excerpt from the story, just to make sure we're all clear on what was said here. So in Seth Wickersham's article on ESPN.com, he wrote, "At times Williams said he would watch film alone with no instruction or guidance from the coaches. Quote, no one tells me what to watch. End quote. Caleb Williams told his dad, quote, I just turn it on. End quote. Okay. So that's all that was said about film study in this entire story. And somehow that two sentences has blown up into this giant conversation, which I understand. The aspect of, like, what was happening here, here's what I think was happening. So the idea, like, obviously Caleb was taking initiative and trying to watch film on his own, but he clearly was not quite grasping everything that he was seeing. And needed more guidance, wanted more guidance. The other aspect of this, we don't know when he told his dad this. Like, my question was, did he tell his dad this in August? Was it June? Was it September? Was it, like, we don't know when this happened. And did it get fixed after that? But, you know, and that's, so, like, was there a point where things got kind of leveled out? My guess would be once Thomas Brown took over, things got a little bit better when it came to hands-on with the quarterback, just based on the way Thomas Brown's talked. But anyway. The idea that, like, obviously Caleb knows how to watch film and he understands, like, to an extent what he's looking at, but that, of course, he would have been watching film in college. But I take this back to my own experience. Like, okay, when I was in high school, I was a big film nerd. I loved watching film. I thought I was pretty good at it. And a lot of what made me better as a player was the coaches giving me tendencies and me watching film and being able to recognize where those tendencies were. Now, that was in high school, right? Had I played in college, there's even more you got to know. It's like what I learned in high school probably wouldn't have worked near as well. That's accentuated even more when you go from college to the pros. Owen Kruitz has talked so many times about how do you watch film? But the way you're watching film could be totally wrong, and you have to learn that. He clearly wasn't being taught what he needs to do on the NFL level when it comes to watching film. And now, part of this is on him, or if he didn't seek out more help, maybe he did, or but there clearly was a bad relationship between, I don't want to say bad, not as good a relationship as there should have been between Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams, because I believe, based on everything I've learned, that Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus kind of just treated Caleb like a vet, like he's got this, and they kind of skipped the aspect of, well, he is a rookie and he needs to learn how to be a pro. We've talked a lot about this. Like, Caleb still, to an extent, needs to learn how to be a pro. And this is one aspect of this. And then also, clearly, Ben Johnson has talked a couple times about how the quarterback needs to see the field the way he does. They need to be on the same page in order for this to work. That obviously was not happening with Caleb and Shane Waldron. Like, it clearly was not happening. And we know that just based on how things were playing out. So I know I covered a lot of ground there, but, like, this aspect of this story, it's kind of weird and interesting to me. And I want to make sure that, like, people understand where this was coming from and how easily I think it can be fixed. All you have to do is be more hands-on with the quarterback. And I think that Caleb's obviously willing to put in the work. Look, this kid has been, since he was 10 years old, singularly focused on one thing. That's being the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah,
he knows the work ethic that comes with that, and he obviously was trying to, from what I gleaned from this, trying to do more, but he didn't quite have the materials around him to make it work. And part of that is because the coaching staff was incompetent, and that was a mistake on the Bears' part. That goes up to Ryan Poles, right? So all right, that's all I got on this so far, and I'm happy to hear your rebuttal. That's just kind of all my general thoughts on the way this conversation has gone.
No rebuttal and a lot there that was good to add. The idea of this being easily fixed, okay, let's see them get out the troubleshooting manual and fix this now, and that's a process. I do think that there is an ownership piece of this story that's going to play out in the months ahead in terms of how much Caleb is willing to take on in terms of responsibility, in terms of work ethic, in terms of all those things, because to be what you want to be, which is one of the top three, if not the top quarterback in the NFL, it's hard damn work, and you better be ready to put it all in, and your lifestyle's got to change and your habits got to change, and everything has to be almost psychotic. Like when you talk Brady, Manning, these guys that wear gold jackets at the end of their careers, it's because they are obsessed. And they basically have no other life other than being great at what they do.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, like,
that's something you've got to determine whether that's for you or not.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, before we get onto the defense here a little bit, I last week I was at Hallis Hall pretty late. And as I was walking out of the hall, I look in the players lot and I did see like four or five cars still there. I mean, this is like 9:30 going, you know, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if one of those cars is Caleb's, you know, I mean, learn. I mean, it was good to see that. I had all the security people still there. So I'm guessing that maybe Caleb was still there, man, doing his thing.
If you had a Hall of Fame work ethic, Grody, you would have stood at that island until the sun came up the next day and you would have figured out which of the last cars that came out of Hallis Hall was. And you would have said, oh, that was actually... you know, Case Keenum.
Yeah,
I don't want to get in trouble. You know,
how do you not know whose cars is Caleb Williams? Well,
you can't. I mean, you can't really get close enough. You can't really get close.
Maybe I do know. Guys up there, you know,
you don't know what I know. You don't know what I'm saying right now. You don't know if I'm asking you guys to read between the lines right now, studs.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I will say, Grody, this is the second time I've heard you talk about it, and I feel like I'm just reading your answer on the surface and getting exactly out of it what you're telling me.
That I don't know whose car is whose.
Yes.
Which is fine. Maybe I saw Caleb's vehicle. I don't want to personalize
you guys
crap,
but obviously, you know? Like you guys can't be worried about whose cars is.
Oh no, who. No, it's okay. I'm just saying. Like I think Caleb was probably there still.
I wouldn't be shocked if he was.
Yeah.
Lamar Houston, by the way, had like an oranges brown Jeep back in the day where it was impossible to not know that was Lamar Houston's car.
Well, yeah, it was, what did our guy, Akeem Hicks had a big old Jeep, I think,
yeah.
If I remember back in that. Yeah, I think there's like a 7 to 10 year rule. We could tell you guys what kind of cars the players had after they've been gone from Chicago for 10 years, something like that, you know.
Before we transition into defense fully, let me go hurry up on two last points on this topic.
Okay.
The first one being that we are cooking up at the Take the North Kitchen another healthy, hearty blame pie.
Oh, right? Boy. Okay.
And I refuse to live in a world in 2025 where we just determine in advance that the quarterback is blameless for anything. The struggles are all everybody else's fault. Is Caleb's blame for 2024 a big slice of the pie? No, it's a very small sliver, but he certainly takes accountability for what happened in the struggles and the losses. As the number one overall pick, 1-1 in a draft with the future of the organization on your shoulders, you understand what those responsibilities are. And when things go awry, you share in that blame. So I'm not willing to live in a world going forward where people just let the quarterback off the hook for every damn thing that goes wrong. Like he's got to be analyzed and scrutinized as such. The other part of this that I want to just get out there before we move on is that Caleb himself in this book excerpt used the word nuke. He said, I wasn't ready to nuke the city. That's a very strong verb, right? Like you would agree with that. It's a very strong verb.
It gets the point across very well.
That came out of the quarterback's mouth, which means he wasn't ready to nuke the city, but that they had conversations about possibly nuking the city, right? And so like, what was that? You know, what was all that? And how are we to be sure that that's not still deep in the back of your head somewhere all these months later? And so like, look, like Caleb will talk about this. What are we waiting for? Let's get him out in front of a mic. Let's have a conversation. You and I have been in unison and very loud for the last 15 months about how enjoyable it's been to have conversation with Caleb Williams. It should be a very informative and civil back and forth when that time comes. Let's just have it. Let's get it out of the way and let's move on.
Yeah, and that nuke power only gets more powerful in 2 years. Like the technology will advance if he gets good. So
that or if he gets mediocre too, right? Like they're still right. Like they're.
By the way, what if all here. This? What if this really is all on Caleb and his line of nobody tells me what to watch was more like nobody tells me what to watch. Maybe that's what he was actually trying to say. No, not these coaches, not you, not Ben Johnson. Nobody, Kerry Jones. Nobody tells me what to watch.
But yeah, you know, like, yeah, again, it's like, oh, Toto, don't go near that curtain. We don't want you back there. There goes Toto.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
All right, man. What, there are other things to watch when it comes to the Chicago Toto. Bears. And what was that?
Poor Toto.
Your poor little guy. And your dog, too. And your little dog. Oh, precious. The Bears, one of the things that I am most interested about, and I think most people are, because look, the secondary needs some work. Obviously, is Tyreek Stevens going to be what he once was? Are the linebackers, or will there be switching around for Tremaine Edmonds? And what is TJ Edwards' role? Is it going to go up as Noah Sewell? But the defensive line is fascinating to me. And it starts with two new guys that they got on that line. Grady Jarrett, who was front and center with us the other day. Shamar Turner as well, and seeing what his role is and how fast he can get into the rotation. Here we are again in the preseason. Austin Booker was quite present out in that practice.
practice and the one there. Hey, there is Austin Booker again. Like, he really did not put his stamp on anything in the regular season, but for two preseasons in a row now, he is going to be present. You saw Dio Dangbo. There's Dio Dangbo out there flying around doing all, like, you start to see the speed and them jumping to different positions as well. But I'm just as fascinated about that defense. And Montez Sweat, it was really good to see Sweat. I'm presuming that he is healthy. He had that rejuvenated look, and you could always hear, as much as we heard Ben Johnson, you could hear the voice of Montez Sweat again. I'm excited to see what that rotation is going to look like, who is going to play the majority of that three technique, who's going to be backing it up, and we do get a healthy Andrew Billings as well, who, by the way, was not there last week.
Yeah, and may have to change his body and his role a little bit to fit what Dennis Allen wants to do versus what Matt Eberflus wants to do. I have a challenge for you, although I know you may not be in position to enact this challenge, but the next time Montez Sweat talks, I want you to get one of those hearty Montez Sweat laughs out of
him. Oh, I get that.
Just so we know that he's back and in the right mind frame going forward. He is still going to be the engine of everything that happens
The
Bears pass rush and their front four. Look, we will agree that anytime we get a chance to hear from Grady Jarrett on a Take the North podcast episode, it's going to be a better episode because of it, because this man, it speaks with passion. He speaks with authority. He speaks with veteran experience. So why don't we take a listen to him for a minute or two about his kind of acclimation to Dennis Allen, and then we'll build off what you said and then what Grady said.
For sure, man. Definitely want to be attacking style offense. Want to be fast, physical, know what we need to do, our assignments. And he's been pretty clear on his expectations for everybody involved from the front to the back end. And I think it's going to take, a lot of work for us to be able to achieve what we're capable of. But that's the beautiful part of it. It's a process day in and day out. And, just establishing a culture, the way we want to practice, the way we want to play the game. And that's what it's about. So I think we all here just learn each other, but putting our best foot forward every day to be able to, put a best defensive product out there.
You've seen almost everything at this point in your career. Was there anything he's asking you to do that you feel like that might take me a little minute to get that fully down?
Not necessarily. What is refreshing is working with a coach that's has such a high standard for what he expects, and the detail with the work to back it up, the resume to back it up, and to be able to just learn from a great defensive mind, I'm really appreciating. And so that's something that I'm definitely taking from this experience, and I can't wait to see where it takes us.
Yeah, and go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, Grady Jarrett spent time in the NFC South. He's seen a lot of Dennis Allen, albeit from a different lens, being on the other side of the ball. I think one of the things he said there was just the credibility piece for Dennis Allen, where he comes in and guys understand what his track record has been, and they instantly kind of gravitate toward, okay, this vision has worked. We've seen it work. And so now we're going to buy into this. Even if I'm Grady Jarrett and I've been in the league for 10 years starting and playing at eye level, I understand that this man can put our defense in a position to succeed. And so that's the starting point. And then you hear about the aggressive mentality and trying to blend these pieces together in a way that makes everybody sort of an attacking style defender in an attacking style defense. It's encouraging. And so we'll watch that evolve here in the months ahead, and it's way too early to know what that's going to look like. But some good voice there from Grady to marry up with some of the things you were saying on the front end.
Yeah, and it just seems like, I mean, from that very opening press conference, just a great teammate. And he was also talking about how Shamar Turner was saying that, you know, he looked up to him during, you know, while he was in, looked up to Grady Jarrett while he was in college, watch his film in college. And I thought the way that Grady Jarrett handled that was just spectacular, because he was the overall essence of it was, that's really great and that's really cool, but understand, you're one of the guys here, man, and I'm learning from you too. Like of course he's going to be a leader, these guys, of course he's going to help them, but they're all in this together, to the point too where, and I didn't even mention Jervon Dexter's name when I was going through the litany of defensive linemen. Yeah. How about Jervon Dexter? Yeah. There's always somebody that steps up and says, hey, let's all get together somewhere and work on this defensive line. And that guy this year, and look, Jervon Dexter's got a lot on the line, like in terms of, you know, heading into his third year, right, Jervon Dexter?
Yep.
And he's had moments, man. He's had flashes, as we say, but he has yet to put a season together that would, like, if we're talking about, if we look at it in terms of, is this guy going to get another contract, like with the Bears or with somebody of like a very fruitful variety? Yeah. Right now, he's still got some proving to do before he gets to that that point, and that's good for the Bears, I think.
You and I could put together a long list of defensive tackles that came in via the draft and never really amounted to what the Bears sold us they were going to amount to, and Jervon Dexter's got to avoid that trap door. You know, we've talked to Ego Ferguson and Will Sutton and Jonathan Bullard, and, you know, the list goes on and on.
Dickens, dare we say?
Yeah, for sure. So you've got to figure out how to make that work. By the way, my colleague Sean Hammond at the Tribune on Monday morning had a really good piece on the vision for the defense and some of the things that we've been hearing recently from players like Grady Jarrett, Kevin Byer, Tremaine Edmonds. I'd encourage our audience to check that out to get a little fuller knowledge of some of the things we're talking about. But that's fun to hear a little bit. And I do think that you do start out from Jump Street with this staff, with two guys, Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen, who have the respect of the players and the understanding that they've got credibility, that they've done it, that they've produced in those various roles, defensive play caller, offensive play caller, in a way that gives them some momentum that they've got to figure out a way to carry forward.
Yep. And here's the real for Dennis Allen too. You're right. I mean, probably like a top five defensive coordinator, the way people talk about him. So the credibility is there. Let's see you get to the quarterback. Cause he talked about it like, hey, that inside pressure, man, that's what means something. Okay. So you got Grady Jarrett, you got Shamar Turner, you have Dio Dangbo. You better get somebody to get to the quarterback, because that's going to be job number one for Dennis Allen too. If this is what you go to war with, if it's going to be as your starters, Dio Dangbo and Montez Sweat, get to the quarterback, develop Austin Booker, figure out ways for Jervon Dexter to get in there, for the rest of these guys to break through and get to the quarterback, because that's his real task. And, go ahead and stop the run as well. We got to get out of here in just a couple minutes here, Dan.
Sure do.
We've got another OTA popping up on Wednesday. They do these OTAs without us, but that is the day that the media gets to zero in. So we will see if maybe Caleb will speak. I mean, there's certainly nobody has told us that he will, but it can't be ruled out at this point. Dan, what are you going to be watching for during that OTA?
Yeah, similar to last week. You're just trying to make observations without making conclusions, and you're just trying to see what you see. Again, I think you and I both hope that the practice is outside this time. There'll be multiple fields going, and we'll kind of zero in again. We're watching that left tackle position very closely from now until week one. We're going to be watching the quarterbacks, obviously, the one that we'd like to hear from this week. We're going to see how he's playing on the field. There's a lot to keep track of, and we'll see if Ben Johnson's intensity is the same in OTA 2 as it was in OTA 1.
Yeah, we'll see if he's still, quote, agitated, close quote. Dan, we do got to go here, buddy, but Coach Dan doing okay? I mean, you said that you guys did pretty well over the weekend. Did you control yourself?
Compliments? Full juice. We snuck a tie out of our final game of pool play. That's always fun when you get a little tie. It doesn't really
sick.
Do it. It was 6-6 tie, but we tied it in the bottom of the last inning with a nice single, clutch single. That was good to see. The game we won to then advance to the semifinals of the silver bracket was to the championship of the silver bracket was a double play to end it.
Woo! Where
a guy was their team was trying to tag up from third, and then it looked like the ball was going to go over the left fielder's head, and so he left. But then the left fielder made a spectacular catch.
Oh yeah!
Threw home, and Coach Dan was screaming from the dugout, "Throw it back to third! Throw it back to third!"
I was just going to ask.
The umpire was watching it as well. We got the double play, and I went bananas.
That's our Coach Dan update. Great stuff from everybody, and we will be back with you guys a little bit later on this week. So thank you so much, as always, for being a big part of the Take the North podcast. So for Dan Weider of the Chicago Tribune, for our executive producer Adam Studzinski, I'm Mark Grody, saying thank you for watching and listening to the Take the North podcast.
Toto, where have you gone?
Great talk out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.